Welcome back to Clowncast. I'm gonna open today with a confession. Back in episode 129, we stood on this very podcast and said, quote, AI removes all the gates. Remember that?
Oh yeah, the Open Bridges episode.
We were so optimistic.
So full of hope, so naive.
We were telling the truth. Software gates did come down. Open source models. Free APIs. Tutorials everywhere. Anyone with a laptop can download a Frontier class model right now. But here's what we missed. While software was kicking open every door, someone was quietly rebuilding the walls. Except this time, the walls aren't made of code. They're made of silicon, concrete, copper, and water.
Water. Like water, water.
Like millions of gallons of water, water. We'll get there. But first, I need to ask you something. Have you ever played StarCraft?
I mean, I've watched enough Twitch streams to fake it at a dinner party, yeah.
Okay, so you know the phrase, the most famous error message in gaming history.
You must construct additional pylons.
That's the one. For anyone who hasn't played, in StarCraft, you need pylons to power your base. They provide supply, which is basically your population cap. You can have all the minerals in the world, all the Vespin gas, the best build order ever theorized on a forum at 3 a.m., but if you don't have enough pylons, you literally cannot build more units. The game just stops and yells at you.
And you're about to tell me that the entire AI industry is getting that error message right now.
Multiple data center executives have literally used that exact StarCraft quote in earnings calls. This is not a metaphor I'm imposing. The people building AI infrastructure are telling us, in public, on the record, we must construct additional pylons.
That's incredible, and also terrifying.
So here's the landscape. The big five hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, Apple, are spending roughly $725 billion on AI infrastructure in 2026. That's up 77% from $410 billion in 2025. $450 billion of that is specifically for GPUs, data centers, and cooling.
$725 billion, with a B, in 1 year.
In 1 year. And they still can't build fast enough, because the pylons, the power grid, the chip supply, the cooling systems, are maxed out. You remember in episode 139, we talked about the cloud utility bill hitting enterprises.
The utility bill arise, yeah.
Companies were shocked at what their cloud spend actually looked like.
That was the micro version. Today is the macro version. The utility bill hitting entire nations and entire power grids. Global data center electricity consumption is projected to exceed 1,000 terawatt hours by the end of 2026. You know what uses that much electricity?
I'm scared to ask.
All of Japan, the entire country, every bullet train, every factory, every heated toilet seat in every home in Japan. That's how much electricity data centers are now consuming globally.
The heated toilet seats really put it in perspective for me.
And it gets worse because demand is accelerating. Data center power demand hit 132 gigawatts in 2026, up from 104 gigawatts in 2025. That's a 27% year-over-year increase. The US alone needs $720 billion in grid upgrades just to keep up. And over $64 billion in data center projects are currently blocked or delayed by local opposition.
Wait, blocked by who?
By people who live near them. Because here's the thing nobody talks about. Residential electricity prices are up 42% since 2019, outpacing inflation. Regular people are paying more for electricity because data centers are consuming grid capacity. Citizens are subsidizing AI infrastructure they didn't ask for through their utility bills.
So when I complain about my electric bill going up, I can blame ChatGPT.
Partially. Yeah, you're not wrong. And this is where the StarCraft metaphor gets really precise. In the game, pylons are a prerequisite. Not a nice to have. A hard gate. You physically cannot proceed without them. That's exactly what's happening. You can buy all the GPUs you want, but without power grid capacity, they're expensive paperweights. Billion-dollar data center projects are stalled waiting for electrical substation permits. Not chip deliveries. Permits.
So the bottleneck isn't even the fancy technology. It's the boring stuff.
Like the infrastructure equivalent of waiting for a building inspector.
Exactly, and this brings us to our second metaphor, because the bottlenecks don't just sit there side by side. They cascade. You ever watch Naruto?
Oh, I know where this is going. The Eight Gates.
The Eight Gates of Chakra, for the uninitiated and Naruto, there are 8 internal gates that limit how much power a ninja can access. Opening each gate multiplies your capability enormously, but at escalating physical cost. The first gate, you feel a little strain. By the 6th gate, your body is breaking down. The 8th gate, the gate of death, gives you godlike power, but it literally kills you.
So each layer of AI infrastructure is a gate, and opening them has increasing costs.
Exactly right. Gate 1 is chip fabrication. TSMC manufactures virtually all frontier AI chips. NVIDIA H100s, H200s, B200s, AMD's MI300, Apple's M-Series, plus custom silicon from AWS, Google, and Microsoft. All of it flows through TSMC.
One company
for all of it.
And here's the wild stat. TSMC controls over 90% of advanced semiconductor packaging globally. Their fabs are sold out through 2028. Chinese companies ordered over 2 million H200 chips for 2026, and NVIDIA only had 700,000 in stock. Lead times for data center GPUs are running 36 to 52 weeks.
So gate 1 is already straining, and we haven't even gotten to the painful ones yet.
Gate 2 is even more absurd. The actual bottleneck isn't the chips themselves, it's something called CoWoS. Chip-on-wafer-on-substrate. It's an advanced packaging technique. Basically, the most powerful AI chips in the world are gated by the process of putting them together. It's like having the world's best engine, but nobody can build the car body fast enough.
Wait, so we can make the chips, we just can't assemble them.
Not fast enough. New CoWoS capacity isn't expected until the second half of 2026. Gate 3 is high bandwidth memory, HBM3E, which is also constrained. Gate 4 is the power grid, which we already covered. And gate 5.
Let me guess, water.
Water, the invisible gate. Nobody talks about this one. Training GPT-4 required approximately 185,000 gallons of cooling water for a single training run. 100 megawatt hyperscale data center, which is a big one, but not the biggest, uses 3 to 6 million gallons of water per day during peak summer. That's equivalent to a town of 10 to 50,000 people.
Wait, a single data center drinks as much water as an entire small city.
Every day, Google's data centers consumed 6.1 billion gallons of water in 2023, up 14% year over year. Amazon disclosed 2.5 billion gallons in 2025. And here's a stat that really puts it in human terms. Every 20 to 50 ChatGPT queries costs about 500 milliliters of water, half a water bottle.
So every time I ask ChatGPT a dumb question about whether a hot dog is a sandwich, I'm draining half a water bottle somewhere.
Essentially, yes. And here's the geographic irony that makes this a masterclass in unintended consequences. You know how TSMC is building fabs in Arizona to reduce dependence on Taiwan, risking from geopolitical instability.
Yeah, the whole what if China invades Taiwan scenario.
Right, so they're moving chip fabrication to Arizona. TSMC is committing $165 billion to US expansion. But Arizona has a water crisis. They're literally trading geopolitical risk for environmental risk. Same vulnerability, different element.
That's wow.
That's like moving your save file from a corrupted hard drive to one that's overheating.
And each gate, like in Naruto, costs more to open than the last. The first gate, more chip capacity, costs billions. The second gate, more packaging, costs billions in years of construction. The third gate, more power, costs $720 billion in grid upgrades and transforms energy markets. The fourth gate, water, pits data centers against agriculture, residential use, and ecosystems. By the time you're opening gate 5, 6, 7, you're talking about reshaping national energy policy, restarting nuclear reactors, and fundamentally altering the relationship between technology companies and sovereign nations.
Did you just say restarting nuclear reactors?
Microsoft, Google, and Amazon have all signed deals to restart or build nuclear reactors specifically to power AI data centers. Nuclear energy, a technology the industry largely had abandoned decades ago, is being resurrected because GPU demand is so extreme that renewables and natural gas alone can't keep up.
The AI industry brought back nuclear power. I need a minute with that one.
Take your minute, because now we need to talk about the third metaphor, and this one ties the whole picture together. You've played Final Fantasy Roman 7, right?
Obviously.
Multiple times. I have opinions about the remake.
Good. So Materia. In Final Fantasy Roman 7, Materia are these crystallized orbs of magical energy. They give you abilities. Fire spells, ice spells, summons. But here is the thing everyone forgets. Materia is useless on its own. You need equipment with Materia slots. A mastered fire Materia, fully leveled up. Incredibly powerful. If you don't have a weapon or armor with a slot to put it in, you're just carrying a pretty marble.
And linked slots.
Some abilities only work when two Materia are linked together in connected slots.
Exactly. And that's the AI hardware dependency chain. The GPU is your Materia. Incredibly powerful. But it needs a slot. That's the data center with sufficient power and cooling. And linked slots? That's the supply chain. Chip fabrication linked to CoWoS packaging. Packaging linked to HBM3E memory. Memory linked to power delivery. Power linked to water cooling. Every link has to connect, or the whole chain breaks. A mastered Materia and a weapon with no slots is just an expensive rock.
So Nvidia is basically the world's biggest Materia vendor, and everyone's fighting over slots.
And Nvidia has 90% market share in AI accelerator spending. 90%. In Q1 of fiscal year 2026, they reported $35.6 billion in quarterly data center revenue alone. And you know what's wild? The gamers who built Nvidia into the powerhouse it is today, they're now the lowest priority customer.
Oh no!
Nvidia cut consumer GPU production 30-40% to prioritize data center chips. The RTX 5090 is nearly impossible to buy at retail. The people who made Nvidia culturally relevant, who bought their products for decades, their collateral damage in the AI arms race.
That's so cold.
Thanks for making us a trillion-dollar company. Here's a waitlist.
And then there's the Materia monopoly problem. I call it the 90/90 problem. Nvidia has roughly 90% of AI accelerator market share. TSMC has roughly 90% of advanced chip packaging. Two companies, both subject to US export controls, effectively determine global AI capability distribution.
Two companies
for the entire planet's AI capacity.
Which is why nations are treating compute like nuclear capability now. This is the sovereign AI movement, and it's happening fast. France committed 109 billion euros to AI infrastructure through 2030. Mistral AI, the French AI company, secured 830 million euros just for roughly 13,800 NVIDIA chips in a Paris data center. Germany is building 10,000 GPU AI factories as national strategy. The EU launched a tech sovereignty package in June, and I want to read you the exact quote from the announcement.
Go for it.
We want to be sure nobody has a kill switch. That's a direct quote. The European Union is explicitly saying they fear that US-controlled supply chains give America a kill switch over European AI capability.
That is a wild sentence to come out of an official EU announcement.
And they're not wrong to worry. US chip export restrictions to China aren't just trade policy, they're capability containment. When you decide who gets GPUs, you decide who gets AI. The Gulf states, UAE, Saudi Arabia, are leveraging their energy abundance and sovereign wealth funds to become compute powers. They've got the fastest GPU demand growth of 2026 because they realize something brilliant. They have cheap electricity and endless cash. That's two of the hardest gates already open.
So the Materia is American, the packaging is Taiwanese, but the slots, the infrastructure to actually use them, that's becoming a global arms race.
And this connects back to something we've explored before. In episodes 116 and 136, we talked about submarine cables, how 99% of intercontinental data travels through fiber optics thinner than human hair, lying unprotected on the ocean floor. We said the cloud has a body.
Right, glass fibers and gunboats.
And the landing stations where cables touch shore.
Same thesis, bigger stakes. The cloud has always had a body. We showed you its nervous system, the cables. Now we're showing you its heart and lungs, the data centers, the power plants, the water systems. And just like the cables had choke points, the compute layer has choke points. Except these choke points are orders of magnitude more concentrated.
This is also kind of the dark flip side of the AI bloat episode, isn't it? Episode 96, when we talked about companies slapping AI on everything.
Yes, thank you. Because here's why that matters now. Every unnecessary AI feature, every toaster with a language model, every app that doesn't need a GPU, but uses one anyway, that consumes scarce compute, scarce power, and scarce water, When your refrigerator runs inference to suggest recipes, it's drawing from the same pool of resources that could power medical research or climate modeling. The AI bloat economy has real, physical costs now.
My smart toaster is drinking someone's water.
That's the most dystopian sentence I've said on this show.
And here's the thing that keeps me up at night. People say AI has been democratized because open source models exist. You can download LLMA, you can download Mistral's weights, you can run them locally, and that's true. But downloading a model is free. Training one costs millions. Running one at scale costs tens of thousands a month. Access to weights is not access to capability. It's like saying everyone has access to Formula One because you can watch it on TV.
You can study the car all you want, doesn't mean you can afford the fuel.
Exactly. The materia is technically available. The slots to use it are not, and the slots are getting more expensive and more concentrated every quarter. The physical layer is re-centralizing power faster than the software layer can distribute it. The bridges we celebrated in episode 129, they're open, but the roads leading to them are jammed, and the toll booths are owned by two companies in two countries.
So where does this go?
Like, is there a gate 8 scenario here? The one that, you know, kills you?
I think the environmental cost is the closest thing to gate 8. We're in a situation where nobody voted on this trade-off. Nobody held a referendum that said, hey, should we increase residential electricity prices by 42% so that AI companies can generate images of cats wearing hats? Nobody asked whether it was okay for a single data center to drink a small city's water supply. These are decisions being made by capital markets, not democracies.
And unlike in Naruto, you can't just train harder to survive the gate of death. The water doesn't come back because you believe in yourself really hard.
Right. Though I will say, there are some genuinely creative solutions emerging. The nuclear renaissance is real. Liquid cooling technology is getting better. Some companies are experimenting with data centers in cold climates. Nordic countries, Canada, to reduce cooling needs. And this sovereign AI movement, for all its geopolitical tension, is actually distributing infrastructure more broadly. More fabs in more countries, more power sources in more places. It's messy, but it's diversification.
So the answer to you must construct additional pylons is people are actually constructing additional pylons.
Slowly, extensively, with enormous environmental trade-offs. But yes, the question is whether they can build fast enough and whether the cost, in dollars, in watts, in gallons, is one we're willing to pay. Because right now, we're paying it whether we agree to or not.
You know what gets me?
Jensen Huang's leather jacket has basically become the symbol of all this. Every Nvidia keynote, he announces chips that won't be available for 12 to 18 months, and it creates these pre-order frenzies like sneaker drops. We're treating GPU allocations like limited edition Jordans.
The supreme drop of silicon. And honestly, that's a perfect encapsulation of where we are. The most important technology of the century is gated by packaging techniques, water tables, and electrical substation permits. The future is here. It's just waiting for a building inspector.
I love that.
The future is waiting for a building inspector.
Put that on a t-shirt.
So next time someone tells you AI is democratized, just remember, the software is open, but the physics isn't. You must construct additional pylons. And pylons take time, money, and a whole lot of water.
Okay, so I have a follow-up brewing.
All of this assumes that the current architecture is the only way to do AI, right?
Like, we need these massive GPU clusters because of how models are designed right now.
But what about the people trying to change that?
The efficiency researchers, the people working on smaller models, alternative chip architectures.
Oh, you're reading my mind. Because that's exactly where I want to go next time. There's this whole counter movement, neuromorphic computing, sparse models, quantization, chips designed to run AI on a fraction of the power. People who are basically saying, what if we didn't need all these pylons?
The rebellion against the infrastructure empire.
The rebels building lightsabers out of scrap, and some of them might actually win.
That's next time on Clowncast, the rebels.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed this, share it with someone who complains about their electric bill. Tell them it might be ChatGPT's fault.
Half a water bottle per conversation.
I'm never gonna forget that.
See you next time.
See you next time.